It costs nothing to enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. If you've been injured in a road or work accident and made a claim, it costs nothing to know where you stand with Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm.
Now, I've been away for a few days, and this is a really interesting job, and I'm sure that you guys are the same, but I really think that anybody cares when I'm not here.
That's not true.
Well, I mean, in the studio, sure. But I'm talking about people listening to this, right? But
you forget. I've had a lot of people ask me where you were, Pete.
Well, thanks. And the thing is, like, you forget there's an audience listening and the audience actually cares and they notice when you're not here.
Sure.
And I really appreciate the litany of DMs and texts and stuff while I've been away to say, hey, mate, reaching out, hope you're okay, all of that sort of stuff. This is also a job where we try to keep it as lighthearted as possible because there's just enough crap in the world without us having to add to it. But what I've experienced in the last few days is just so profound. So this will be a little bit dark and a little bit searching, but I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk about it. At the beginning of last week, I found out that someone very close to me who's been dealing with an affliction where the body essentially just goes on you, but the mind is still perfectly healthy, had chosen to take advantage of the voluntary assisted dying laws that were revealed, that were passed back in 2019. I'm just going to collect myself
That's okay.
So this is a very, very, very close relative of mine. And what's been really interesting, and we've spoken about this, like the three of us, right? What's been really interesting is to try and wrap my head around how somebody can take advantage of those laws and stare death in the face and go, I'm going to go peacefully and I'm going to go on my terms.
Yes.
And I really appreciate the fact that this particular person was able to do that and able to take control of their life that way. And I'm thankful, having been so close to this person and been so close to this situation over the past sort of week or so, that we have those laws now to be able to take an opportunity on. Because I, like most of us, you know, you hear about these laws being passed, you hear about these things, and you hear about the fact that, you know, somebody's taken advantage of them, but you're rarely ever close to that particular situation. Yeah. So you're not really confronted with it. And I was confronted with it over the weekend, and it happened on Sunday afternoon. It happened at his house, and it's an incredible way, the way it all comes together, because, you know, they set a time, they set a date, and the nurses come around and they hook you up. And then to be able to do it and take advantage of it, you've got to be of sound mind. So you know that as you go to sleep, you're not going to wake up again.
Extraordinary.
And to know that this particular person, on the stroke of the time that he was able to say yes, put his thumb up and went, do it.
Yeah.
Is both incredibly empowering and profound, and at the same time, as a perfectly healthy person, so alien.
Yes.
So alien a thought that it's been probably the biggest struggle of this entire situation.
Of course.
Because every part of you says this is the best thing for him.
Yeah.
Every part of you, like, because we visited him twice last week, and, you know, the Tuesday night we visited him, and then on the Wednesday morning, like, I was back here and I was fine, and I came to realize that when we went back on the Wednesday night, and that was the night to actually say the proper goodbye, I realized that on the Tuesday night, because I hadn't actually gone, all right, this is it, and hadn't confronted that yet, that I was perfectly fine on the Wednesday. And then sort of, Wednesday night came around and we were there with the family and we said our goodbyes. And I've never cried so hard in my entire life. Because when my parents couldn't raise me and my brother, this is the bloke that did.
Yeah.
So it's something that I wanted to share because I, you know, like I said earlier on, you come to realize and understand that people are listening and they're going through this sort of stuff as well. And they get so invested in what it is that you're doing that you feel you have a right to at least explain why you haven't been here for a little while. But also something that I wanted to share because it helps to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that I really admire the way that he faced it,
yeah,
and the way that he hit it head on and the power that he had to on the stroke. Because I think if I was in that situation, I would have been like, oh, actually, maybe wait, not yet, maybe wait, not yet, maybe wait. But no, he just right on that minute, he went, do it. And it was incredible. And I wasn't there. I only heard about it after the fact, but yeah, so there you go. That's why I haven't been here for a little while. And I appreciate the love and support that you guys have shown myself and our family as well, our wider team and the mixed fam as well. I mean, we're incredibly lucky to be able to have those thoughts and that love and that support, not just from the people around us, but from the people that are listening too. Thank you.
Bless you, bud.
Mm. Take care, Pete, and much love to your family too.
She's the girl from Carnarvon who's about to make history as the first Indigenous and openly bisexual bachelorette in the world. Please welcome Brooke Blurton.
Yeah, the new bachelorette. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning.
It's been interesting watching like what you've been up to in the studio literally next door to us here. You've been in here since what, about 6 o'clock this morning doing back-to-back interviews, one after the other?
Pretty much all the interstate interviews, yeah.
Hey, are you stuffed? Have you had enough?
I've had a coffee, so I'm good. I'm just waiting for some breakfast.
What's the question that you don't want to be asked again?
Oh, I feel like the contestants hooking up, it kind of like is starting to get a bit annoying.
Okay.
I think a lot of assumption is that because girls are, but you know, there might be bisexual girls that are attracted to guys and then the guys will be attracted to girls. It's kind of like, it feels like, you know, Paradise or like Love Island, and they're kind of comparing the show. I'm like, this is going to be different.
Well, I'm interested to know how does that feel, because this, you know, the Bachelor and Bachelorette series has always been about finding love and ratings. And I think your season is being sold as this kind of saucier version, and that purely is based on the fact that you are bisexual. So how does that sit with you? That this is, for other seasons, it hasn't been about people's sexuality, and for yours, it really does seem like that's what people are focusing on.
I think it's because it's new and it's never been done before. So the focus is like, wow, this is actually huge globally because it's the first. I guess the only ever bisexual show that's ever been done before was A Shot at Love at Taylor Tequila, which was like this really US version of her finding love between male and female. So it's never been done before. So that's why it's so elaborated. I feel like that, you know, it's so exaggerated. A saucier version of The Bachelorette, I don't mind that, to be honest, because I feel like, you know, I think this season is going to be so different, but very the same, like same format, like same cocktail parties, same rose ceremonies. Just the male and females are just going to shift the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are going to really see that at the end of the show, the show will revert back to its core, like what it was made about, which is the love part. And I truly believe in the success of the show because obviously it's worked for me.
I mean, maybe I'm showing my age. Everyone else wants it to be saucy. I'm thinking, I can just see the name Ryan and podiatrist, and I'm thinking that's who you want to end up with. Someone who'll look after your feet. Forget all the saucy stuff that, you know.
If I liked my feet being touched, but I'm actually like the opposite.
Okay, Ryan, you're out, son. Sorry.
Yeah, no. But look, any profession that you can get anything like, you know, podiatrist, physio, massage, you're like, I've sign me up.
I looked a long time for an orthodontic husband. Found nothing.
Yes.
Found nothing.
Have you, like, the feet, don't like the feet being touched is an interesting one because at some point in a show like this, that subject has to come up. because you might find yourself in a situation with a bloke who's like, you know what I'm going to do to win your heart? I'm going to rub your feet.
Oh, well, Ryan, for one.
Right.
Yeah. He probably did it on the red carpet. He probably came down and was like, take your shoes off. I'm maybe this guy. And
can I deal with your corns?
I find that the cringiest bit, because now it used to be like a couple of people would come down the red carpet and put on a bit of a show because they wanted to stand out. Now it's almost like, well, the producers have obviously said, what's your shtick going to be? Mm. Were some of them super awkward and embarrassing for you and you thought, oh man?
None of them were embarrassing for me because I like really went in open-minded about that sort of stuff. Like everyone has their unique personalities. I think you're really going to love like some of the entrances this year, Lou, because I walked away after meeting like all my contestants. So there's 16, so 8 guys, 8 girls, I'm pretty sure. And was like, everyone was amazing. Like, you know, because I guess I'm the bigger the driver in this and I've got to really navigate their nerves. And I'm a nervous person. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fail at this miserably. So we kind of, you know, it is awkward, but you kind of like bounce off one another's awkwardness because it's like, well, I've never done this before. You've never done this before. Like, I've obviously walked down the red carpet, but, yeah, basically learning how to like manage people's emotions and nerves and kind of calm them into it is, yeah, that was a whole another ball game.
And you're just you, right? You're just Brooke and you're looking for love. But are you okay sort of flying the flag for, you know, for people who are bisexual, people who identify that way and Indigenous people? Because that is the way that you're being presented, right?
Yeah, I always have.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I've always been really proud of like who I am and obviously who I've really sort of like become. I feel like I've become more comfortable with my skin in the last couple of years. Yep. I think definitely a lot of confidence has come from doing the show the first time. Yep. I feel like I wouldn't be able to have, you know, this conversation on radio or be on TV if I didn't have that confidence, because I remember my 23-year-old self walking down that red carpet the first time. I was like a mess. Like I was so young and so a nervous wreck. So but in that, yeah, now in the last 3 years, I've definitely grown into my skin. But the thing that I love the most is that I'm just really open-minded and I'm really proud of myself for representing both those communities. And I feel like I've done that with the most integrity and authenticity to myself.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to see plenty of it. The Bachelorette Australia premieres Wednesday, the 20th of October. That's tomorrow night, you guys, at 7:30, only on 10 and 10 Play On Demand. WA's very own Brooke Blurton. Good to see you this morning.
Hey, Brooke, how did we do?
Good.
Was that okay?
Amazing.
Were you all right with that interview?
Yeah.
Any questions in there you would like to take back or?
Zero, no.
Great.
Are you happy with it?
We did it. We did it, guys. We did it.
That's Sydney.
And we got the feet headline out of it
too.
So that's brilliant.
So funny because that, yeah, you guys are going to laugh at that.
Brooke, we're still on.
Saw something pretty cute online last night.
Go on.
And now I know emergency calls to our emergency services are very important and should be taken very seriously.
Yes.
You don't just call them for no reason.
No.
But there was this gorgeous audio of a call in New Zealand to the police officers in the emergency line there. 111, I think, is their number.
111?
Yeah. And this little kid has managed to get hold of someone's phone, dad's phone, I think, and no one knows it's happening. And he's made a very important call to the police.
This is police. Where is the emergency?
Hi.
Hello.
Pledge lady.
Yes, what's going on?
Can I tell you something?
You can tell me something.
I got some toys for you.
You got some toys for me?
Yep. Can I even see them?
Whereabouts are you?
Hello.
Hi there. We've received a 111 call. I'm guessing it was a mistake, child making a mistake there. So just confirming there's no emergency at all.
No, there's not.
Awesome.
Comms calls for any units free. There is a 4-year-old there who is wanting to show police their toys. Over.
Yeah, I want to hold tender.
Roger, thank you.
So cute.
Did you get any of those calls when you were doing the air wing?
No, thankfully. But, you know, it's she, and she's done the right thing because, of course, dad's got on and gone, no, there's no problem, and she's gone.
Yeah.
Are there any police in the area? Go out anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Very responsible thing for
toys.
A dispatcher to do.
Yes.
But please go look at the toys. And then they posted a photo of the police officer who went to the house with the toys, and he did report back that they were a great selection of toys, and he let the little boy go in the car and play with the siren and...
Yeah.
You know, lovely little introduction to the police.
Yeah.
But kids, when they grab your phone and they just make a call without you realising, yeah. This stuff happens all the time.
And can I suggest 111 is the sort of number that's quite easy to dial,
isn't
right?
it? Yes. An easy mistake.
An easy mistake,
I dial. I guess as easy as 000.
Sure. Yeah.
But the way phones are set up, like, you know, because mobile phones, right? So our kids muck around with the phones. Mm. And in particular, you know, sometimes when we're not watching too closely. And there's been countless times where our middle daughter, Izzy, has rang my wife's work colleagues and just had a casual chat.
Oh, really?
And she's you know, 3 years old. Particularly, this has happened over the last sort of 6 months while Liz has been on maternity leave.
And
she just rings them, tells her about her day, renegotiates Liz's contract, fantastic. Like all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's brilliant.
And Absolutely, it's so cute, unless you're the person getting the call going, oh, Christ, I've got to get this kid off the phone.
And I'm sure as a parent, you kind of run to the phone and think, oh, God, who are you calling?
Yeah.
You know, because you don't know what they've said. You don't know what they've done. But we want to know when your kids have stolen the phone and called someone when you didn't know about it. Helen and Kinross, who did your kid call?
Called 000 for the police.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Yep. So we were potty training. He was 4 and a half. And we've always let him know, like, if you need help, if you ever get stuck with things, yes. then, you know, the police are there to help you. And, yeah, we were at the back hanging at washing, and he decided to get the phone and call the police and say, I can't get my pants down to go to the potty. I've had an accident. Help me.
To be fair, that is an emergency.
Oh,
he did see it as an emergency.
That's so cute, though. How did they handle it?
They were like, okay, no worries. Is mum and daddy there? And he said, no, they're hanging the washing out. And so they hung up, and then they rang back about 5 minutes later and let us know what had happened. And I was like, oh, my good God.
T in Wanneroo, good morning.
Morning.
Who'd your kid call?
Every single funny name on my phone.
Who like, as in nicknames?
Nicknames. Like, I've got Turtle, Porky, God. Turd, every single weird
okay.
name you can think of.
Okay, hang on. So are these nicknames from school? Are they personality traits? I mean, how do you come to Turd, for example?
Personality. That's actually my brother-in-law, so.
Okay. And so, you know, I'm just going to get over, like, the kids just calling all these people. What are they saying at the other end? Like, g'day, mate.
And what do you say to God?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, gee whiz.
Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
Jenny, who did your kid call?
My kid called Australian Pensioners Insurance.
Some good advertising on daytime telly.
Yes. He was only like about 3 and a half. But, you know, three numbers that are constantly yeah. told. He's just like, oh, yep. And I was like, the kids come out, you know, his older brother and sister said, Mum, he's on the phone. I'm what? Go and get the phone. I'm like, hello? Oh, this is Australian Pensioners Insurance. I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
No, to be fair, Jenny, those over 55s do like they're having a dream run. I'll be honest with you.
You're kidding me. It is time to get stuck into this for another week. 20 points to 16.
Let's get on with it.
Kimber Ooh. In the lead, leading
I'm sick
the
of playing
pack.
The nice guy.
Yeah, no.
Have I ever done that? No.
This is how it works. I've got three different montages of audio from three different years. They can be made up of things like songs. They can be moments in time. They can be lines from movies, whatever. I'm going to play them to you one by one. You're going to tell me what year they're from. Close to the pin. Best of three wins. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Augustus, please, don't do that. My chocolate must never be touched by human hands. Please, don't do that.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say.
Join us on a tour of the most fantastic family fun center there is, Disney World in Florida.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay,
quite an eclectic mix, isn't it?
Gee whiz. Maggie May from Rod Stewart.
I'm going to go with 78.
Okay.
I'm like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is the only one I can really connect to.
You're not going to believe this. That's what was in my head too.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
78, and I'm like, Maggie, still kind of like the cooler end of Rod Stewart, still like not too early 70s, I wouldn't
have
thought.
I'm going to go 77, just because I think it might have been earlier. I don't think it was later, but I could well be found out to be wrong.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
It's a very safe bet. So, I mean, the safe bet, either side of that, really. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, the safe bet is what can get you across the line when you're 4 points behind.
You're in the ballpark for 70s.
Yeah.
You know, spot on there for both of you. But it was 1971.
Yes.
Matty, 1971.
Yeah. I'll tell you when Rod Stewart did become cool. We had Blondes Have More Fun was the album. Do You Think I'm Sexy, for example. And that would have been about 1976. And why I remember that is the album had a photo of him with a brunette on one side and him with a blonde on the other.
How did you know? You guys didn't have colour then, did you?
There you go. 1-0. Let's go.
Thank you for sharing. Let's go to the next one.
Bollywood hottie Shilpa Shetty and Hollywood's Richard Gere. Quite obviously, post the duo's kissing controversy.
Oh, was that April Levine?
April Levine?
It's brilliant. Don't go changing, Maddie. Pete, don't even correct him.
Wait a minute. April Levine?
Is that her name?
Oh, yeah, they go way back. Matt's mispronunciation of famous people is my favourite
you
thing.
You say famous.
Was that Rad Stalwart?
She's more famous than April Levine.
She's
I'll give you the
hot
tip.
More famous than me. Yeah, that's for sure. What's her name?
Avril Lavigne.
Oh, Avril. Oh,
God, okay. I want to stay with April Lavigne, please. Do not go away from that. All right. Yes, it was.
God, I don't know. 2010. I don't know.
Look, okay, I'm going with, I don't really know, because I don't know what that first bit of audio was. Well, I'm not even
Richard
convinced.
Richard Gere got in trouble for kissing an Indian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, well done. Yes.
I'm going off Big Bang Theory because...
I can't believe you've got that, but you can't get Avril Lavigne.
The band who did the song for Big Bang Theory was They Might Be Giants, right? And They Might Be Giants were kind of popular around the time I was trying to get into Whopper, and I reckon that was 2000... I'm going to go with 2000.
Oh, God.
2000?
Miles away, obviously.
2000?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Pete sounded really shocked by that, though.
But 2000? I've left such a big window by saying 2010. I have no idea.
I mean, there's 10 years
splitting
the two of you.
That's right.
Yeah. Incredible.
There is literally.
And Big Bang Theory's had like 40 episodes,
what was I thinking? It's going to be much earlier than 2010.
I think
Hayley
it was like, 12,
was like 12 when she started.
I think it was like 12 seasons. I recently went back through and watched them on Netflix.
Oh.
Fantastic. One of my favourites. Made us geeks cool.
Mm.
It was 2007, Maddie.
Oh, Maddie. Good job.
You better win.
You better win.
Good job.
You pull one back.
Thank goodness, because you know why? If I'd had a lead of 5, he was going to give up.
Really?
For the rest of the year.
We've got like 8 weeks left.
Yeah, but the gap would have been too big for him to get his mojo back.
I mean, that's just because I'm a bit of a skater boy. That's how I roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that Avril? He was a skater boy.
It was, mate. Well done.
April Levine from here on out.
She's the owner and director of the WA Good Food Guide and last night named the top 100 eating and drinking experiences in our state for 2021. What a job! Please welcome Georgia Moore.
Pleasure to have you on the show this morning, Georgia. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, team?
Going well.
We're really well. Georgia, this is such a difficult thing. We've been so lucky with how many wonderful restaurants and cafes and things that we've had open up in WA. And I must say, if anything, I just feel bad that I can't get to them all. Are you amazed at how many we sort of keep getting every year?
Don't feel bad. You now have a top 100 bucket list of venues to tick off over the next year. And you're in very good hands with us. It's very ethical, process-driven reviewing model, not dissimilar to the world's 50 best, which is, you know, incredibly credible. So have fun.
Georgia, I was pleasantly surprised when I saw the list of nominees, particularly about how many places up in the Pilbara and the Kimberley were mentioned. And I guess I grew up thinking of that area as pretty desolate where people went to work on the mines. But of course, because of those reasons, those areas have developed and now there's some good eating up there.
No more. We've done an amazing campaign with Tourism WA. So we're essentially licensing them our content to create a ready-made food and beverage campaign for the state of WA that they'll be targeting to people coming here. We want the full breadth of WA talent to be recognised. Albany to Broome, everywhere in between, Everyone's working so hard. We've got such a diverse offering of WO venues, and it's there on our website for everyone to explore.
Georgia, you're the director of the WA Good Food Guide. So when it comes to, you know, restauranting, your word is gospel. You are Jesus. This is the Bible. So if I could nail down you walking into a restaurant and I'm the restaurateur in terms of a sound effect, like that's how I'm sort of thinking.
Oh my God, I love that. Thank you.
Do restaurateurs know who you are when you walk through the door?
I am responsible for ensuring my team follows due process, which is ethically reviewing under false names, submitting reviews, making sure they're scored correctly, and as such, form a great reviewing model. Personally, of course, I come into restaurants and they know who I am, and I do have my favourites.
It's more that you go incognito when you're eating at the pub. You have to. You don't want anyone glasses. To see you.
Right. You know, like, oh, that steak is amazing.
Now, Georgia, I mean, this is probably one of the awards where people go, I genuinely am happy just to be nominated because it's pretty hard to win. But who took out Restaurant of the Year?
5,000 venues, 100 finalists, one winner. And the winner last night of Restaurant of the Year, Vass Felix.
Oh, Vass Felix. There you go. Wow.
Excellent. And Chef of the Year too, because people follow the chefs. Chefs became rock stars, didn't they? So who took that one?
Oh, my gosh. My son actually equates a rock star to an NBA or AFL player. He's like, oh, can I get a signature? I'm like, genius. He gets it. He's in line with my strategy.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Chef of the Year, Joel Balvasori, Lulu Ladi Delizia, Subieto.
Oh, that's just around the corner from us here. And Chef Balvasori.
A warm hug of hospitality in an hour or so.
He's
revered. You had the most amazing pasta of your life.
Yeah, he's revered.
He is. Honestly, it's like we celebrate hospitality, and you cannot go into another restaurant in Perth, walk in, and feel like you're getting a metaphorical hug in the same way you do at Lulu Ladzovic here. Worthy winner.
And, of course, the winner of the Toasted Ham and Cheese Sandwich Award, Georgia, who took out that coveted prize.
Well, if you wanted to peg that down, Peggy is Fremantle, like 25 on our best casual dining list.
Bang.
Wow. Like,
there you go.
Best sandwich you've had. Bring it on.
So good. Nice.
And our list really does highlight the diversity. You know, you go everywhere from half to Garum, to a great sandwich shop in Fremantle, and it's a big spot we do.
Check out the WA Good Food Guide. You can go and have that list and just start ticking them off.
Yeah.
Get around them. But Georgia Moore's the director of it, and we appreciate your time this morning, mate. Thank you.
Oh, and you. Go eat.
Yeah. There you go. Vass Felix making the vast difference.
If you have time, check out another Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast on the Listener app. And if you have an existing claim for a road or work accident, contact Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm. Mix 94.